You guys go ahead and open up in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Well, that's funny. Oh man, too many thoughts. Too many thoughts. Jerry says, how are you holding up? You haven't been able to preach all day. I said, oh, I'm taking my shot right now. It is hard. Okay. All right. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. So, some thoughts here. The theme tonight for spiritual shotgun is perseverance. And now look. Oftentimes, the thought process behind the spiritual shotgun is, you know, maybe get some young guys up here, give them a shot to kind of get in here and blast her out, okay? And you got guys, and so it's easy to pick on Kevin, Jared, Larry, these guys who do a lot of preaching and teaching in the mornings for class, the midweek, preaching on Sunday evening, and the general thought is, hey, give them guys a break, get some people who are kind of so far in their ability to lead from up front, relegated to stewardships and Lord's Suppers, and give them a shot. So I'm putting thought into this today, and I thought, let's do a young gun shotgun, okay? I got three names. So, looks to me like we are still in need of some older men, and not old guys. You know, we got guys in their 30s and their 40s that have been preaching and teaching, okay? To continue to keep stepping up, and as Paul writes to Titus, saying they are to be sound in perseverance. Okay? So just want to start us off with a couple thoughts here, all right? I have assembled in congregations where there were no men in their 20s, and the older men did the majority of the preaching and the teaching because guess what? There were no younger men. I have also assembled in congregations where the younger men, primarily young 20-year-olds, were carrying the majority of the weight of the preaching and the teaching because there were no older men. Now, maybe that's because they lacked perseverance. I don't know. The picture I just want to give you guys today is, does this congregation need older guys paving the way and stepping aside to make room for the younger guys, stimulating them to step up? Amen? Do those younger guys also need older men continuing in perseverance to finish faithful so they know what this thing looks like? Amen? So who's right? Exactly. You know what matters? That the Lord is glorified. That is what matters. If you're in a congregation and there's no 20-year-olds, it's like, the Lord is glorified. Okay? So, now, we might have three young, and I'm thinking like 20-year-olds, right? Like, we might have three young guns. There's more than three young guns in our assembly. There is maybe not here tonight. So you can encourage them to assemble with us on Lord's Day evening. That's a way that you could exhort or encourage them. So what I decided to do was get the three young guns going, okay? And as a side note, from talking to you, I have 5 minutes, all right? No. From talking to you, this congregation is itching for a Top Gun spiritual shotgun day too. Okay? They want to see Jared. They want to see Kevin. They want to see me get up here and stay inside 5 minutes. So, particularly you two, you're being called out right now. In a month or two, we're doing a Top Gun shotgun. Okay? And we're going to stay in 5 minutes. Okay? But what I did is I took these three young guns who I knew were going to be here tonight. Faithful men. Thank you guys. All right. Really excited. We've got Braden bringing her. All right. But I left the last two open for those who maybe have been trained in discernment and maybe have a little bit of perseverance under their belt to step up and to show their ability to teach and preach and to be in season and out of season. Amen. So one already got filled, sat down, looked at the board, turned around, said, I got it. So we need one more. You're still thinking? Okay, so Kendall's ready to go. I like it, bro. So go ahead and bring Drew on up with a round of applause. Go get it.
Good evening, brethren. If you guys want to turn over to James 1, we'll get started there. It's nice to know that this time the clock started after Nolan was done, not like last time where he stole some of my time. All right. Well, and then I was thinking about it too when Nolan asked us, and I saw the layout, that the first time I ever saw a shotgun, Lorenzo told me the hierarchy of the layout, and he said the person who's first, they have the worst position, because if they tank, then that's all everybody thinks about for the rest, and they have to get the crowd going, and then the next few guys, they get to kind of ride the coattails of the first one, and then the last guys just kind of get to just slide in and get it easy. So in the spirit of that, I saw a joke, and so worst case scenario, I thought I'd just tell a joke, so you guys could at least say I told a semi-decent joke. Do you guys know why at the end of songs they say amen and not a woman? Because they're called hymns, not hers. All right, well, first bomb of the night. Okay, James 1:12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say he is tempted. I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. So if you guys just want to turn over to Revelations 21 for the next part here. So I started thinking about that, perseverance. Been trying to persevere through a lot of things in my life, you know, spiritually and physically. And Lorenzo and I, we were running on Friday, and I started thinking about it. We were talking, because, you know, when you run for like 3.5 hours, what else are you going to do? And so we were talking about how everybody has their own battles that they fight. And so we're talking about, like, a lot of people struggle with anger. I started, like, really digging down deep, and I thought about it. And I thought about myself, and I was like, man, mine is definitely sadness in just the way of, I look at situations, and I get really discouraged. Because I'm like, man, I don't want to do that. Like, I know the outcome. I just push myself into a position where I don't do a lot of things. Because I just, like, I think of what could happen. So then I started thinking about Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8, where it says, he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. For the cowardly and unbelieving, and abominable and murderers and immoral persons, and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their parts will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I started really thinking about that, and there's a lot of those in there, the people who are going to go to their fiery, that everybody thinks, you know, you have the murderers and the adulterers and all that. But then there's the cowards. I mean, you know, I've been in a few situations. I mean, the first time I tried to study with somebody, I ended up losing my job. And, you know, it was very discouraging of just exactly how Jared was talking about those arrows, those perfect arrows for you, of just how it just hits you right perfectly of, oh, you're trying to do something good. Oh, nope, two steps back. And then I just want to encourage everybody, you don't have to turn over there because I'm about out of time. In 2 Samuel 23, it talks about Eleazar, who was a man who fought with David. And, you know, he was a great man, and he fought this battle that, like, the rest of the army withdrew from, but he kept staying there. And as his hands grew weary, he clung to his sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory in that day. So I started thinking about that, and that's where I want to be. As everybody else leaves, I don't want to cower away. I want to stay there and fight till the end, because I know that's how you gain the true glory. And so I encourage everybody, as we have to keep fighting in this interesting world, don't put down your sword. Let yourself grow and rely on the Lord, for he is your strength. And so I'll leave you guys with this. I saw this really cool quote. And it was, if you think the price of winning is too high, wait until you get the bill for regret. Thank you.
Evening, everybody. I figure after Drew's amazing joke, I better leave it at that. So, no jokes for me. What? Okay. Figure after Drew's joke, better leave it at that. No jokes for me. Nolan assigned me Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. Better read that. All right. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. You know, I really like these verses because, you know, there's something you can relate to. I'm only 18, so I haven't really had too many hardships or tribulations, but definitely been through, you know, pain. I like athletics, sports and whatnot, lifting. There's pain involved in that. you know, with any type of sport, to get good at it, you do need to go through pain. You know, running, you know, your chest is heaving, your lungs want to burst, you know, your legs are just absolutely burning, but you got to keep on going. You know, and the only way to get better is to push through that pain. You know, if you quit halfway through, you'll keep on quitting, you know, as you go through life, and you'll never grow. When I played for the Knights, the homeschool program in Billings, we had this thing called Hell Week. You know, 2 days for a week. They got that through the military. And in the morning, it was just pure conditioning. A lot of running involved. And that was painful. And after doing that, I definitely realized why Paul used running as an illustration for life. I don't know about you guys. I don't like running. Drew, Lorenzo, the rest of you guys are crazy. But to me, it definitely is a good example of pushing through the pain, especially, you know, like you're training for a marathon or whatnot. You can't stop halfway through. Could, but it's no fun. So going back to Romans, Paul was probably around the age of 55 when he wrote this letter, third missionary journey. And at that point, he was definitely an authority on the topic of hardships. He had been through a lot. In Acts 13, he was driven out of Pisidian Antioch. Not a huge deal. But then a chapter later, in Acts 14, he was stoned, thought to be dead, probably was, and the Lord brought him back out. And then in Acts 16, Paul and Silas were again beaten with rods, thrown into prison, and even the inner prison, you know, the worst of the worst. At that point, I'd be moaning, complaining, what was me? But the best part about this scenario was that both him and Silas, they exulted in the tribulations. They're singing, they're praising God, you know, really cool stuff. And, you know, the only reason that anybody endures that type of pain is because there is a strong hope, you know, or belief, conviction, that there will be something better that will be produced by that pain. Otherwise, none of us would go through any of that. And, you know, that really goes off of Mr. Simpson's appraisal series. If you don't appraise scriptures, the body, the kingdom, you're just going to quit because there's no reason to go through any of that pain. And this is really evident with Paul. You know, even through all of that, he kept on going. You know, if I were stoned, I probably wouldn't get back up anytime soon. But he did. And he always kept his mindset pointed on what really mattered. Then if you guys could turn to Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 2. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. You know, eventually, everything on this earth will disappoint us in some way or form. If you guys have ever talked with Drew, he can give you a first-hand experience. You know, these bodies, I'm only 18, so I'm in my prime, but, you know, eventually they'll disappoint us in some way. We all die. But, you know, the one person, the one thing that won't disappoint us is God, and he's ultimately who we should set our mind on. Thank you.
I don't like running either.
You know, I did it because I thought it'd be good for me, and I'm young, and I might as well do it while I'm young, because as I get older, it's going to get harder and harder. But let's turn on over to Romans chapter 15. And I don't exactly remember saying that's how this works, Drew. You know, I'll let that go, but I guess the first guy set the pace pretty good, so it looks pretty good. Romans 15, verses 4 through 6. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may be with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's actually jump back to verse 1 real quick. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. You know, I was thinking about encouragement and perseverance. And yeah, running definitely has taught me a lot about perseverance, for sure. And one of my favorite sayings is, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And, you know, I was thinking about perseverance, and it's a lot easier when you have other people on your side. It's a lot easier when you have people on your team. But who really is going to supply us with that perseverance and the encouragement? It's God. God is the one that's going to supply us with this. But along the way, what's the greatest example of somebody in the flesh that was who gave everything for us? It was Christ. And that's the example that he points to. He says, hey, Christ, he was the strong, he was the big brother. He bore our burdens upon himself. And I started thinking, how does that apply to me? How does that apply to you? As individuals, are we really interested in seeing the success of our brethren? Galatians chapter 6, we could turn there, look at verse 2. But that's the law of Christ. Bear the burdens of one another. Let's actually go back to Deuteronomy 22. This kind of came up in my mind thinking about this. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, starting verse 1, you shall not see your countryman's ox or his sheep straying away and pay no attention to them. You shall certainly bring them back to your countrymen. If your countryman is not near you, or if you do not know him, then you shall bring it home to your house, and it shall remain with you until your countryman looks for it. Then you shall restore it to him. Thus you shall do with his donkey, and you shall do the same with his garment, and you shall do likewise with anything lost by your countryman, which he has lost and you have found. You are not allowed to neglect it. I just want to stop there. You know, I was thinking about this idea of persevering for the person next to you. And I was just reading through Deuteronomy, and I was like, this is pretty cool. God's always telling them, even back then, hey, look out for your neighbors. What's your neighbors? You know, that's a good message for stewardship. You see something that somebody else needs help with, don't say, oh, somebody's got that covered. You know, oh, somebody's going to get that covered. Somebody's going to fill that slot. Man, you see somebody on the side of the road? Man, you know, something will happen. It'll be fixed. Our responsibility is to persevere and to actually take on the weaknesses of others and to press on. And I just want to encourage you, thinking about the idea of Jesus and the great example that he set, it's beautiful. God gave us perseverance and encouragement through the Scriptures. For sake of time, let's just go back to Genesis chapter 4 real quick.
Jared stole a lot of the verses that I was thinking of, talking about unity, because that scripture goes on to talk about unity. Genesis chapter 4. You know, you guys know the story of Cain and Abel. Cain kills his brother Abel. Verse 9, Genesis 4, verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" I just thought that was an interesting point that I want to bring up. What does Cain say to God when God asks him about his brother? He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" I just want to leave you with that. Persevere for your brothers and sisters. They need you. We need you. Thank you.
Grayson last week said, "Dad, when you turn 40, and that kind of hit me, I'm turning 40 next year, and I guess I graduated to black, I'm not a young gun anymore. But back when I was a young gun, in my 20s, I owned a coffee shop in Bozeman for a while. And I remember it took me, I had this relationship with one of the motel owners that owned a motel in Bozeman, and he did quite well. And I'd get ice for free, and he could get coffee for free. It worked out really well for me because I always got ice, and he never got coffee. But he did come through one day, and he's like, "How's business going?" And I thought, well, this guy's doing well in business. I'm going to be honest with him. It's not going good, you know? And I told him that, and he returned a story to me, and then he left and left me thinking. And the story was, he said there were these monkeys on an island that these scientists were studying. And the monkey, one in particular, didn't like to eat his coconut with sand on it. So he started taking it down to the ocean and washing it off. Well, the other monkeys figured out that was a good idea. They didn't want the sand either. So they started taking it down with observation and washing it off. But the interesting thing there was they were studying these same monkeys on another remote island, no contact with each other. And shortly after the first monkey started doing it, a couple months later, the monkeys on the other island started doing it. He finished his story, took off with his coffee, and it's like, what's that all about? But I started to think about it, and you ever notice, like, you haven't seen a friend in a while or something like that, and you start working out, and then you start seeing the friend, and he's like, "Hey, I just started working out." Or you start eating healthy, and then you start talking to somebody else, and they started eating healthy. You see, there is this influence by just doing something that radiates to other people without us even contacting them. It's just something that people, if the people around you are doing something, it can be contagious. It can catch on. And that brings me to my reference here. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Pay close attention to yourselves and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as long as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourselves and for those who hear you." And if you look down at the literal on that, it says, "Save both yourself and those." See, there is... the reason I bring that story up about the monkeys is because it is your responsibility to pay attention to your teaching. You see, a lot of times we want to put that on someone else. Teach me what I need to know. No, God says your responsibility. And see, it's important though. It's not for us. It's not selfish. We do it for the salvation of ourselves, but then also those around us. You see, it's a contagious behavior. You start doing something, and other people, even though you're not communicating with them, they're encouraged by it. They start seeing it. They do it too. And it is that perseverance thing. You got to keep with it. And it does bring, like other people have said, pain. You know, I think about going to the gym. It's good. It's healthy. I'm able to run with my kids again because I've been going to the gym. I can pick my girl up because I've been going to the gym. But if you don't stick with it, it can be hard to pick back up again. Matters have come up. I haven't been in 2 weeks. Monday, Tuesday's coming. It's going to be harder. But there is a responsibility to stick with it. That's why it's called perseverance. And I'm running short on time in here. But in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus talks to a church. And he says, I credit you for this, and I credit you for that. And he says, I credit you for your perseverance. But he says, I have this against you, that you have lost your first love. So that's what I want to caution us against when we're persevering. Can you persevere and lose love? Yes. You can persevere and lose love. So this scripture gives me the notion that puts the two together. Perseverance in love. You do it for yourself. It's not selfish. For the love of others, because it includes the salvation of you and others.
Good evening, saints and faithful brethren. I have to agree with Mr. Wilkinson. Going last is definitely the easiest. To paraphrase Paul, say it's no trouble for me to repeat these things, and it's a safeguard to you. So you can just get up here and just repeat what people for the last half an hour have been saying, and you'd be good to go. So we got 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. Paul writing to Thessalonica says, therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. So Paul is talking to the church about the perseverance for the afflictions that they endure. Not that the afflictions that they did endure, but he says these ongoing afflictions. And Paul never promised them that these are going to end here on earth. It seems like these afflictions are going to continue on as long as these people here are on earth. Continues on and says, this is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you indeed are suffering. I often said that there's untested faith is an unproven faith. God tests our faith to make sure that we're the people that want to spend eternity with him. If he just went by anybody on earth that said, I want to spend eternity with you, he'd end up with a lot of people that say they do, but they really truly don't want to spend eternity with God. They don't want to persevere here on earth to receive that prize. God says, for after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will reveal from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. God says, he says, vengeance is mine. He says, I will repay. It's not up for us to figure out how to repay people that afflict us, but God says he will do it. And he tells us in his words what he's going to do. It's not a pretty picture. He says he's going to be dealing out retribution. Dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. God says those that do not know him and do not obey the gospel are going to spend eternity away from him. So we need to keep that in mind when the world is afflicting us, that we know their future. As the psalmist said, he was kind of jealous seeing how great the person's life was. He said, until I entered the temple and realized what their end was. He realized that those earthly treasures are not as great as those heavenly treasures that were promised. And as Jesus said, he said, do not fear him who can kill the body and cannot kill the soul, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell.
Well, what do you think? It worked. Well, that was great. We're a little over. Kendall, thanks for wrapping us up quick. And I'm really encouraged. Great job, you guys, young guys, getting up here, being ready to go, and for you guys filling in last minute. That was encouraging. Let's pray.